Till Armageddon. No shalom. No shalom.
Good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Oh, it's been a cloudy, smoky day today. Had a little heat, but nothing like the rest of the country. We do welcome you here live this, well, it's the last Thursday of August already. Seems like it was just the last Thursday of July about a month ago. And but the time just marches on and the calendar and the days just roll on by. Here it is, August 30th, 2018, and well, you may hear this program at other times. We do replay it, rebroadcast it a little bit later on in the week, but we are coming to you live today. Lots going on in the news. Thought I'd talk a couple things about that, and then I do have some scriptures I want to read that have been, well, they certainly seem like they are for today. They've happened before, but they certainly seem like we are seeing them happen again. But do have a bit of encouragement, so I thought we'd cover that. We'll have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. A little bit later, and well, join me in prayer, won't you? Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this great day that you give us. Father, it's been a beautiful day today, Lord, from the beautiful sunrise this morning, Lord, to the sunset. That's just... As these days grow shorter, Lord, that sunset is come and gone. And so we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for the health and the safety that you have afforded your people today. Thank you for the blessings that you have poured upon those that have called upon your name. And Lord, those that know your name, and Lord, we know that you know theirs. You know ours. And we thank you for that. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to be with me here tonight, Lord, to guide and direct me down the paths you would have me go, to say the things you would have me say, Lord. Father, forgive us, Lord, for not always seeking your will, Lord. Forgive us for the flesh coming up and taking over at times. But Heavenly Father, we repent of our sins, known and unknown. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to return to you, Lord, in sorrow and in tears and in repentance. For Lord, we know when we return to you and desire your will and your strength, Lord, you send that healing. You send those times of refreshing. You send justice to the land. And Father, we need those things. We need refreshing and we need justice and we need your will and your way here in this land, Lord. Father, thank you for the remnant, Lord, for those that faithfully support us and Lord, continue to allow these broadcasts to go out, to continue to allow us to send the gospel into the whole world, Lord, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on shortwave and internet. Lord, we thank you for that. Father, I thank you for our pastor who went before us, who tirelessly worked for 40 years, Lord, in furthering the kingdom, building this ministry and this church, Lord, on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And Father, I just pray that we would be able to continue to build upon it, not desiring to please men, but to please you in all things, in all things. And I thank you for that, Lord. Father, come Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Thank you, Lord, and thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice on the cross to save us, to save a wretch like me, to save us from the destruction that we deserved. And I pray all this to your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If we will, have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. Turning into, summer's almost ending here this month, at least to some people. Many people mark the Labor Day weekend as the end of summer. And, it's close, but it's a couple of weeks, maybe about 17 days short. We know the 91st day will be September 17th that we'll celebrate that, and that is really the change of the season. So we're only about 3 weeks out. Summer's ending. Had heat in many areas, and storms all through Wisconsin, all types of flooding and stuff there. Praise God, we had praise reports that his remnant were delivered and they were protected. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for that. Saw this today, the forecast from the Farmer's Almanac. Now, not the old Farmer's Almanac. See, there's an old Farmer's Almanac and then a Farmer's Almanac, and I guess they are at odds with one another. But anyway, the Farmer's Almanac, predicting a colder than normal winter, said, hey, you better get ready for a rough winter. Basically, from the Continental Divide eastward, just looking like, look, the South looks near normal, but basically the Midwest and on over looks pretty cold. And then out here where we're at in the Midwest, all the way over to, over to the Rockies. Teeth chattering cold and plentiful snow. Well, that's the forecast as the Old Farmer's Market, Old Farmer's Almanac, sorry about that, puts it. And we'll see what happens. You know, they say there's no science to it. We sure try to go by some of the wisdom that we see in the Farmer's Almanac at times. Planting and castrating and doing things like that. Haircutting days. No, it's not witchcraft. It's just knowledge that really isn't known anymore. It's not put out. It's not common knowledge anymore. It's not. You know, there's a lot of things that people that came before us knew that we really don't know anymore. We shared Wednesday night, had a neighbor up the road, Mr. Pat, passed away early this week. And Pat was 82 years old. And that generation, those 80 and 90 year olds that are dying off, there was knowledge that they had that we just don't know now. Whether it's knowledge of how things work or how to fix things and how you can formulate things. Just simple stuff like that. That knowledge just does not seem to be here anymore. I remember my dad telling me years ago that when he was a child, they had an old Model A or a Model T, and the radiator went out. And, you know, back in those days, you're talking before World War II, there was no money to buy a new radiator if there was a new radiator available. But they still needed the vehicle on the farm. And so they got like a 35-gallon drum and got the bottom hose and upper hose soldered into it, the little fittings. And so that 35-acre drum became the heat sink, the radiator for that old Model A, Model T. And it worked and ran it for years. But lots of knowledge has been removed. It has. And as further generations die off, more and more knowledge is lost. Didn't really plan on talking about that tonight, but it just came to mind. And we see that. We see as generations that were taught different, generations that came up in a different time, generations that didn't come up with an entitlement mentality, that, hey, I deserve this. Generations that came up that could observe and talk with people and could tell how you were feeling by, you know, your mannerisms. Just that knowledge is gone. That knowledge is gone. Things have changed with that. Well, I guess that was on my mind for just a minute. But you know, there's one thing that doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we may have, oh, it's not knowledge that comes against Him, but philosophies and society that may come against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that may come against our God, the God of the Bible. And I say our God because our God is not everybody's God. And we have an education system and a society that certainly has just turned against Him, but we read about that in the Word. We do. We'll read about that in just a second. Did see a news article that was encouraging. It was, I'll call it better. How much better, don't know, but I'll call it better. And that is basically that over 100 evangelical pastors and leaders from across the nation gathered Monday night for a special dinner event. NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters President and CEO, Dr. Jerry Johnson, many members from Franklin Graham to just many. Don't have time to read them all, but from a variety of, like it says, evangelical leaders. And it says here, during the event, President Donald Trump hailed America as, quote, a nation of believers, extended prayers and condolences to the victims of the recent shooting in Jacksonville, and, well, got a quote from him. He says, we're here this evening to celebrate America's heritage of faith, family, and freedom. Now, nope, not perfect, but I would call it better. Better. You know, unemployment rates have dropped. That's better than going up. The economy seems to be better. More people are working. That's better. And at least we are having Christian evangelicals being invited to the White House, as opposed to Muslim imams or imams or whatever they are, and leaders of Black Panther and terrorist groups. And so it's better, I think anyway, that evangelicals are being invited to the White House. We need to be on a better track. We certainly do as a nation. We talked a while back about what a dismal percentage of self-proclaimed Christians actually read their Bible more than a couple times a year. Not a week, but a year. And it was dismal. We looked at today's Bible reading plan. It's Isaiah 3 and 4 from the Old Testament. And if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to flip it back there and take a look. The prophecies that we see in Isaiah, they are just with us today. They certainly are. You know, in Isaiah 3, the subheading is God will remove the leaders. And we're not talking about the president here, but we're talking about the spiritual leaders. The honorable leaders that our communities used to have. That the honorable sheriffs that our communities and cities and towns used to have, the honorable governors and judges that our towns and cities and our nation used to have, and they have been removed. I remember when Pastor preached on this, it opened my eyes to why. To why these things, you know, our land is in the shape that it's in. And Isaiah 3, starting in verse 1, says, "For behold, the Lord God of hosts is going to remove from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the warrior, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50, and the honorable man, the counselor and the expert artisan and the skillful enchanter." And see, that's happened in our land. The honorable have been taken away. Now, I'm not saying there's not any honorable out there. There are. There are many. I would say a few, not many. But there are those, the remnant. And we read, sometimes anyway, of those that are still the honorable man, that still desire God's will and things that are right and just to happen and to go on in our land and in our businesses and in our homes and in our education system. But you know, they don't believe the way we do, and so we just throw the baby out with the bathwater. Or they may not be on our ministry or go to church with us. And so we see that they have been removed. They have. And if you skip on just a little bit further in, starting in verse 8, it says, "For Jerusalem, Jerusalem, has stumbled, and Judah has fallen, because their speech and their actions are against the Lord, to rebel against His glorious presence." And see, that's one of the reasons why. Because their speech is against the Lord. Their words, their tongue is against the Lord. To rebel against His glorious presence. And it also says in verse 9, the expression of their faces bears witness against them. How many times, I remember our pastor taught on that many times, that you go out and just sit and watch people. Where's the joy in people's faces anymore? Where's the happiness? You go watch, I remember him talking about, they don't even have malls anymore, but going and watching people in the mall, or maybe even in the airport, where used to be it was a joyous thing to fly, to get dressed up, and it was a special occasion. I never got to fly when I was a little boy. I don't think I flew till after I was married. But it used to be a joyous and happy occasion. You'd go get dressed up. You were visiting. You had money saved up and you were able to do this. And there would be excitement and joy and happiness. And you don't see that on people's faces anymore, because the expression of their faces bears witness against them. So let me ask you, remnant, does the expression of your face bear witness against you? I have to ask myself that. Does the expression on my face bear witness against me? Or am I like or are we like the Proverbs 31 instructions of smiling at the future? And that is what we are to do. We are to smile at the future. The expression of their faces bears witness against them, and they display their sin like Sodom. They don't even conceal it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. And that is the time we live in. And when I read this, our first thought might be, well, they do bring their sin on themselves, those of Sodom. And yes, they do. They make that choice, those filthy faggots, those filthy perverted priests. There's a special place for them as it would be better if they were gagged and thrown into the ocean to die a horrible death. That would be better for them. But they display their sin. They don't even conceal it. We have to make sure that we don't fall into that as well. That the expression of our face bears the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised to bring and has brought for His remnant. Sometimes you look around and you think, man, I'm in the midst of a sour bunch of people because of the looks on their faces. And it's like people are mad at the world. You know, in Deuteronomy 28, I wasn't planning on going there, but it tells why you're mad. It tells us why we're mad. Isn't that where it is? Is it Deuteronomy 28? I think that's where it is. Let's flip back there and take a look and see if it doesn't tell you why you're going to be mad. That's 26, 27, 28. Yep. Verse 34, you shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. So maybe that's why the expression of people's faces today bears witness against them. Big old sour look. You know, again, I told you my neighbor passed away. I went up and visited with the family today and got to talk with his son, Dave. And you know, Dave had a smile on his face. Dave knew that his father was ready. His father wasn't the biggest churchgoer, but he believed in the Lord and he loved his neighbors. He was a good neighbor and he loved his family. And so by his fruits, I think we can look and see what kind of man he was. And so this man whose father just passed away didn't have a sour look on his face, didn't allow his countenance to fall. The expression on his face bore witness for him that he was believing and that he was at peace and that he knew that everything would work well. Well, that's Isaiah 3. That's our Bible reading for the Old Testament. The New Testament, Matthew 13 and 14, if you can take a look. It's Jesus talking about parables. And I've got a couple things highlighted here, and I thought that they fit in with our society today, with our loss of leaders. And again, not just talking about the president, but leaders in our cities, in our towns, in our churches, and yea, leaders in the homes and the schools and the city boards and the county boards and in the education system. And so Jesus explains the parables here in Matthew 13. And he says here in verse 13, he says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. See, and it may be one thing to have a degree or a PhD after your name, but if you don't see and understand from the Word of God, then what good is that knowledge? And it's not good at all. Hey, I see the phone line ringing. We'll ease over there. Good evening. Welcome to 7 times 70.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, good evening, Bob. How are you?
Oh, not bad.
Good.
You know, there's something that, you know, besides for God Himself actually punishing you, which we know does happen, your sin often brings its own punishment upon you and upon your whole, you know, brings it upon others. It brings it upon the whole of your country at a certain point. I mean, like, you know, just that, you know, people seem to no longer be able to identify cause and effect with what's going on anymore. Like if a person's dying of AIDS, which
right.
50% of homosexuals are, if you're dying of AIDS, your sin did that to you. And all the misery that you had in all those years that you were living before you did finally perish.
Amen. Amen.
Same thing with a good majority of queers are dying from infections that they got that are no longer curable because of tears in their innards of their rectum and having all kinds of diseases getting into those tares, and then it just runs rampant through their system. Their sin created that problem. It didn't just, it's not just a nothing thing. Like, I've just got my
Absolutely.
Lifestyle. I have it, I'm going to have it, I enjoy it, and nobody's going to tell me I can't. It brings consequences.
Yes.
People don't want to admit that these consequences are actually happening because of the sin. You know, I've got how many of my friends when I was younger that their fathers were dying in their 40s from liver cirrhosis. You know, cirrhosis of the liver because they were drinking so hard. You know, well, we're told not to be drinking like that. So they're, you know, they get it, and how many years were they sick before they finally,
absolutely
succumb to it?
The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. Now, it also says we've all sinned, and we know that that comes for all of us. But even back there in Isaiah 3, I didn't read this far, but in verse 10, well, let's read verse 11. It says, "Woe to the wicked! It will go badly with him, for what he deserves will be done to him." And so, you know, the wages of sin is death. When you live a sinful lifestyle, whether you think it's a sin or not, is irrelevant. But it is whether you practice lawlessness, and Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," or if you've practiced righteousness, and he says, "Come unto me." The verse before it, verse 10, "Say to the righteous," and this is back in Isaiah 3:10, "Say to the righteous that it will go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions." And so you're absolutely right, Bob. And the people have not been taught that. That knowledge has not passed on. That simple Bible knowledge.
It's becoming forbidden to teach.
Yes.
This because
yes, it is.
Because it would make the sinner feel so bad, and we have to create laws that protect them from being made to feel bad over what someone else might say.
Yes.
You know, now on a more national level, even besides like a personal level with this, I mean, you have certainly heard of all the antibiotic resistant diseases that have become antibiotic resistant over the last few years, right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, you go into a hospital now, and for one thing, and you may very well die of something else that you get in the hospital.
Absolutely.
Had nothing to do with, and you know how it got that way? You know, I bet you there's not a person in a million that could tell you how they got that way. It got that way in the queer community. The queers that have AIDS, when they get to birth, when they got tuberculosis, you know, a normal person has enough trouble getting rid of tuberculosis or some other infection, but with the person that's got AIDS, they can't get rid of it. All they got to do is keep giving them more and more, higher and higher dosages of the antibiotic to try to maintain the person from dying. It just sustains them longer before they finally succumb to it. So by giving those AIDS patients that higher and higher dosage of the antibiotic, those diseases have become antibiotic resistant. So now the lifestyle of what these queers have done, you know, and it's absolutely provable that tuberculosis became antibiotic resistant amongst the queer AIDS patients that were in the New York prison system. And there were a couple of them that got out of there and went over to Denver and spread it in Denver, and then from there it went out to all kinds of other places. So you see, the lifestyle, you know, people, oh, well, what difference is it what lifestyle they're leading? What, why should it bother you? It's their life, and just, you know, well, no, it isn't, because what these people are doing are now creating a situation that endangers you and me. You could go in for anything into a hospital, and now you have to worry about getting the disease, or you could even be standing in line behind somebody with tuberculosis, and they can be breathing in their air now and can get something that is no longer curable due to the fact that these people say, well, I'm going to practice this, whether even if it kills me. Lifestyle.
That's right. It's defiance.
No one can tell me I can't.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Tell you that you can.
Absolutely. It's defiance. It is rebellion. which is as the sin of witchcraft, but the people don't realize it. They are blind. I do. I've got. I'll have to do this next week. I've probably got 8 pages here on the blinding, and that is another one of the reasons why, because the people are blinded to it. You know, right here in Matthew 13, he goes on. Jesus says, in case the prophecy of Isaiah, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, "You will keep on hearing, but will not understand." You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive, for the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. And see, that's where that healing is in that returning to God as a nation. But it is as an individual as well, because that's where it starts. And so you're absolutely right, Bob. If you think these antibiotics and that flu shot and those transfusions are just going to save you regardless of what happens, the queers have been okayed, the AIDS patients are given blood, and that's in the national blood supply, and the antibiotics are full of, you don't even want to know. Hardly a day goes by that you don't see of some type of drug recall or problem, and that's because they're making them in China and these third world countries, in addition to them being just the pharmakia and sorcery that they are. There was one today, or I saw it today, I think it was just this week, some blood pressure medicine. Well, you know, 2/3 of American men in this country are on blood pressure medicine. And now there's a recall. And so, what kind of turmoil, what's that going to do to the people's blood pressure? It's going to drive it through the roof.
Something really scary?
It's going to drive it through the roof.
This was a while back. My brother was with his girlfriend, and she had, I don't know what it was, but she needed a prescription for some antibiotic. And they went through the drive-through at a local pharmacy to get this. And it was kind of late in the evening, and here the pharmacist at the window says, "Oh my gosh, you're the first person all evening that's come in that didn't get an antidepressant or a psych med."
Yeah.
Oh, can let that sink in for a second. You're the only person that came in all evening that didn't come in for antidepressant or psych med. I mean, that's like. Yeah, and that's right from the pharmacist himself. It's so scary. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Can you imagine if anything ever interrupted that supply? Oh my gosh, you know what these people would be running around like?
Like zombies.
Worse. Dangerous, yeah. Dangerous zombies.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But
that's
on another level, you know, have you ever seen what happens to children in a divorce?
I have.
You know, I've seen it so many times with people when I was growing up. These kids would be just devastated. You know, you first got the confusion and then the sorrow, the absolute broken. You know, and then it changes later. Even you know, it gets worse because they'll sometimes side with one parent against another, even if it's not. Right or whatever, and they build a lifestyle change. They build a change into their lifestyle for the you know often for the rest of their life, based upon you know this trauma that they went through it, you know during the divorce of their parents.
Right.
And you know, and here again, it's the sin of in many cases. I'm not saying all because some people just can't get along, but in some cases. You know, in most cases, you've got a cheating husband or a cheating wife that causes this.
Right.
And here again now, you see, this is the direct correlation of your desire to do this sin was so overwhelming that you just didn't give a complete iota about what this was going to do to your spouse or even the children then. You know what you've done to them because you have to go and fool around with you know whatever you know.
Sure.
But here again, you know, well, I'm doing it. it's just this complete selfish attitude. And here again, your sin is leading to a punishment, because now what have you done with your relationship between you and your wife, or you and your husband, and you and your children, you know?
Amen. Amen. It's that self. See, that's the way of the world. You know, even the yoga and all the Eastern religions, see, what are they about? About yourself. Oh, that you attain this nirvana, that you attain this knowledge, that what's good for you, what's good for you. And, you know, when Christ came, he did what was good for us and not what was good for him. And that's one of the main differences in Western man and Christianity versus Eastern man and Eastern religions, all the other religions in the world, is all the other ones concentrate on you and on glorifying you and getting in touch with the divine being within and with your God within, and all of the Eastern religions have that in common. But Christianity is different. Christianity is based on a servant attitude and a servant's heart. And that's just how it is, you know. When you read in, I'm over here in Hosea when you were talking about that, and Hosea 6 is, you know, once again, God pointing out why he has done this. And he says in verse 4, "What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? And what shall I do with you, O Judah?" And so he's talking to us. "For your loyalty is like a morning cloud, and like the dew which goes away." And so many people think loyalty, my loyalty, the footnote is loving kindness. "For your loving kindness is like a morning cloud, and like the dew which goes away." See, you know, we're faithless, and we're called faithless in other places. And he goes on and says, "I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and the judgments on you are like the light that goes forth. For I delight," here's that word again, "in loyalty rather than sacrifice." And again, it could read, "For I delight in loving kindness rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." And that knowledge of God has been taken away. You read right before it that my people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge. And that's exactly what's going on, Bob. The people are being destroyed because of this. And their children are. They have forgotten the law of God and think that we can do that and thumb our nose and give God the finger. And that's just the way it is. And he says, "I'll forget your children." And, you know, this country has a rude awakening coming. I'd say the last two generations, at least, you know, that's where this entitlement philosophy is, this just total disregard for God, for law, for order. It is just not even in the mindset of the people. But he's not mocked.
And part of that is even becoming institutionalized within the churches.
Yes, it is. It is.
That, no, you don't have to obey it. You only have to believe.
Yeah.
You know, go back to what you were saying here as far as, you know, much earlier in all of this about Israel being punished and removed. Part of that was also what they were involved in. Here again, what they were involved in became their punishment. See, you'll find if you dig around in the scripture a little bit, I can't tell you exactly where this is right off the top of my head, but it explains to you that the women and others within a certain spectrum of the hierarchies of Israel were messing around with Assyrian soldiers and Assyrian politicians and stuff prior to them getting invaded and attacked. They were whoring themselves out to these people from this foreign state, foreign government, whatever you want to call it, and that were within the temple, that, you know, the heads of Assyria, just to show off, look at all the gold and stuff that we have amassed here, and on and on. And so there was a lot of messing around with actual sexual messing around with people from Assyria right before this all happened, and there was also, of course, you know, political messing around here. Cultural also, because they were bringing in and mess around with the culture of that,
you know,
foreign country, to their country.
You know, Bob, you talk about culture, and I was thinking about that very thing today. My daughters have always done Irish dance. You know, they have a school down in Fort Collins. It's not that far away, and we've been able to, over the years, my grown girls have done it, and I've still got a 10-year-old, and she was doing it, and she's pretty darn good at it, and she practices, she loves it, and had it on this afternoon, and she was showing me and my wife her dancing and her steps and cuts, and you know, and see that that is part of our culture. Europe, for the last 1,500 years, has been a highlight of our culture up until the last 40. And our culture, just like in those days, is being destroyed, is being changed. And I got to thinking, you know...
it's actually being made by the media to look like oh, that's something you should
right,
do.
Right.
That's the old fashion. Modern,
yep.
You know, that even calling it racist.
Absolutely, it is. It's just being, and that culture, that proper, and I'm from the South too. So, you know, the culture of Dixie, and yes, ma'am. I saw a thing that there was a little 10-year-old kid kicked out of school or out of his teacher's class for calling her ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I can just picture it, because I have seen polite, and it was a little black boy. I have seen politeness, and not true politeness, and that's what ma'am is. Yes, ma'am. And let me tell you something. My children today, my 28-year-old son calls me sir, and calls his mom ma'am. There's none of this yep, and you know, yo and sure and what. It's yes. How about yes, sir? Or yeah. How about yes, ma'am? And that is part of our culture, and it in itself is being, like you said, destroyed in the institution. And you can't blame the children; they've just been forgotten by God, is all. It's not their fault. It's not their fault.
I'm a little older than you, and even growing up where I, you know, in the time period that I did, it was already being to. You know, that's old-fashioned stuff. You got rock and roll.
That's right.
You know, you don't want to listen to that old-fashioned, old stone Euro stuff. You know, how many decades ago is that been being pushed on us already? So, you know, I mean, I don't know if you do this, but what I do is you know, there's millions of well, I should say millions, but hundreds of thousands of videos of people in Europe that still do the old music, the old-fashioned way, the dancing, the old-fashioned.
Sure, there are some. There are.
And what I do, see, now I'm not Irish. I'm a combination of Swiss, German. And what I do is I'll go on there and I'll find these videos, and I'll either save the video or I'll strip the music off and put them to disc. You know, you got people. It's amazing. You got people that will do. They'll have like everyone in the family is playing an instrument, and they'll
right.
have them doing you know, folk music right there in their kitchen, or out on out in the backyard on their farm or on their deck or whatever.
Yes.
It just doesn't get any more real, actual folky than that kind of stuff.
Yep.
You know, I can see someday that's not going to be there. You know, we're very fortunate to have actually still access to the freedom of people just putting that up there and us watching it, you know, for nothing at this point. And I can see at some point that that ain't going to be there. So
it's not.
You know, I save all of it that I can. Of course, there's only so much time to get to vote. So, you know, you just get these little digital recorders and just plug in and just play the tune, hit record, and boom. You know, you keep putting nothing together, put it onto a disc. You know?
Yep.
And it's not copyrighted. It's just people on their own homesteads or whatever doing it. So, you know, you're not going to get in trouble like you're stealing it or something, you know.
Yeah.
So
yep.
That, I would encourage, and if you can even take the video, you know, if you don't know how to take a video off, well, then you could set a camcorder up on a tripod, put the video on the full screen. You know, make certain nobody's talking. Well,
Bob, you're not going to get a good recording. But there's if you have a computer, there's I've done it here. There's free
software.
YouTube video downloaders. You can do it, and usually you get like 4 a month or 6 a month that you can do. And there's definitely software out there, and there are those that are doing, you know, their best, like the kids doing Irish dance. I mean, you know, we all do what we can to maintain that and to teach that to them. And but it is in this war that we're in, this war that Christianity is in the United States of America, it is our posterity that's being destroyed. It truly is. It truly is. So
I think it's great that your daughters are doing that. That's fabulous. That river dance stuff. Do you remember watching those?
Oh yeah, yeah. And it is.
Yeah, that was just fascinating.
But you know, they had a festival down in Fort Collins here, 1st of August, and the response was dismal. I was very disappointed. And it's because the people don't care. Because the other, like we talked earlier, the other cultures have come in. Now, if it would have been a reggae, hip-hop, or, you know, some Beyonce or something, oh my gosh, they'd have been wall-to-wall fights and drugs and everything else. But there'd have been the crowds there. But the Irish Festival was down there a couple times. They had a little green beer. And they had, you know, the people walking by. It was a dismal response. It really was. And that really let me see, you know, the people don't care. Their heart has grown cold. And it's not that they got to care about these little girls out there dancing, but they've been so brainwashed that they are thinking this is old stuff. It must be racist. Because our enemy has brainwashed so much.
Maybe perhaps a small Irish community in that area, because here in Ohio, some of the it's really weird, because the Irish, there's like three Irish festivals that are going on every year.
Yeah, well, we have them here too.
More, but you know, yeah. It's a very weird thing, because here in Cleveland, the one it gets a little bit of response.
Yeah.
The one, you know, a little bit further south gets better response, and then there's one down around New Philadelphia, Dublin area in Ohio, which is, you know, like kind of east of Columbus.
Sure.
I think it's huge amounts of people. I mean,
yeah.
Huge. So, yeah, part of it is, I would say the most of it is the people just don't care.
Yeah, that's a good bit of it.
But in some places, it's still holding good.
Sure, sure. Well, Bob,
you to maybe look around. Maybe
Oh, yeah, now they have other ones. They actually go to a school that teaches it, and they, I mean, they compete in it. My daughters don't, but the school competes internationally, and so it's, yeah, it's still pretty good down there, but it's just not, you know, it's not, like I said, nothing like if it was a reggae festival, so any other culture, Chinese, right. Japanese, black, anything else, it would have, you know, and that's just how it is. That's how the people are today, unfortunately, but with eyes to see, praise God, we're going to continue to do our best to warn the people. Well, Bob, thanks for calling in. Thanks for the comments. And you have a blessed rest of the evening.
Have a great night.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Well, folks, we kind of covered a couple different things. Folks, return. Repent and return. That's what he says. That's the fix. You know, it's not the president. And it's not anything that we individually can do. We are to be in prayer. You know, 1 Kings 8 talks about that when there's famine or pestilence or enemy in the land or plague, that the prayer offered by the men knowing the affliction of your own heart, it says, will be heard by God in heaven. And so we are to believe, we are to obey, and we are to do, to be doers of the word. You know, when Jesus was asked about the two greatest commandments, he said, love God and love your neighbor. And so we should be neighborly. We should love our neighbor. Romans 8:25 says, but if we hope, well, I hope, if we hope. It goes on and says, if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. And I do. I wait for that, well, as much heavenly kingdom, if any, we can have here on this earth. And we are to pray. And of course, this in Romans is talking about the Spirit helping our weakness in prayer. And so we have that. Sometimes we just groan and really don't even know what to say. But if we will make that prayer, that supplication to God, the Holy Spirit will intercede and will, and it knows our heart. It knows our desire. If we will pray. So I'll ask you, remnant, will you pray? Will you pray? I hope that you do. Well, folks, thanks for tuning in. Join us Saturday morning, 7 a.m. for coffee with the Wranglers. We'll see you then.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne, and at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns when the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man